From the book of Hebrews, 13th chapter, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, again, we are thankful and grateful that we can lift up our voices. We lift up our very prayers, our very hearts to you, to give you praise, honor, and glory, which is fitting only for you. And we are humbled, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit, to fill us with your grace and mercy, to give us the covering of your holiness, so that we can indeed honor you, worship you, and praise you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. This morning I am introducing you to Jack Graham. Jack responded to his call to ministry as a teenager. He went to Bible college, played on the college baseball team, in his own words, was very good at it. Married his college sweetheart, preached, had a great time. Jack was preaching in a small town in West Texas during a summer internship that he had when he got a call from his brother, also a preacher. Jack, you need to get to Fort Worth as soon as possible. Our father's been hurt. Their father, the owner of a hardware store, had confronted a shoplifter who proceeded to bludgeon him with a hammer that he was stealing. Jack and his wife rushed to the hospital, where for 10 days the family waited for their loved one to regain consciousness. As we would expect, they prayed for healing, they prayed for miracle, but he never regained consciousness. The day came when they had to say goodbye for the last time. The family was devastated. For the first time in his life, a 20-year-old kid, Jack remembered, "We came face to face with evil and murder and the death of someone we loved. So that night, after everyone had gone, I managed to find my way down to the hospital chapel. I ended up down there by myself. And I'm weeping, and I stretch out before the Lord, and I'm crying out to God." At this point in the testimony, I expected to hear a familiar storyline. Jack would lash out at God in anger and bitterness and hatred. He would say something like, "God, if this is how you have treated our family who has sacrificed and served you faithfully, then I'm done with you. I no longer have any use for you." And after turning his back on God, he would wander in a godless wilderness for years until another crisis brought him back to God. You know, a prodigal son-style story. That is what I expected. That is not what I heard. And I'm weeping, and I stretch out before the Lord, and I'm crying out to God. I wasn't asking why, but I was just saying, "Lord, what do we do with this?" And I cannot tell you exactly what happened to me that night, August 28th, 1970, but I can tell you that the presence and the peace of God flooded my life. And I believe that an anointing came upon my life for the rest of my days in the brokenness and the pain and the suffering. To those who have known violence and suffering and pain, and ultimately that's all of us, what a hope we have in Him. What a promise we have in Jesus. And I believe that evening God broke a young preacher and prepared me to do spiritual battle for the rest of my days. And I don't say this arrogantly, but I kind of said in my heart, "Okay, devil, you're going to mess with me, I'm going to mess with you." And in the power of Jesus Christ, we've been preaching the gospel ever since. Today, the Reverend Dr. Jack Graham is the senior pastor of Prestonwood Baptist Church, a thriving and growing church and community, more than 50,000 members in Plano, Texas. Now, I share Jack Graham's testimony, by the way, no relationship to the Billy Graham family, but I share his testimony for a couple of reasons. First, tomorrow's Halloween, and even though there are harmless components about the day, you know, I I've sort of always liked the concept that people would give me candy if I could recite a three-word password, trick or treat. But there are components that are not as harmless. There are those who use Halloween to celebrate and worship demons and even Satan himself. I'm encouraged to revisit Jack Graham's Christian testimony that confronts and rebukes Satan, a testimony that personifies James 4:7, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The second reason for sharing Pastor Graham's testimony is that it amplifies the significance of another event in his life 39 years later. In a book he wrote titled Reignite, Fresh Focus for an Enduring Faith, published in 2021, Pastor Graham wrote about his diagnosis of prostate cancer in 2009. His surgery took place in May, about 3 weeks before the celebration of his 20th year as senior pastor there at Prestonwood Baptist. In Pastor Graham's words, "I figured that if I rested hard for 10 days, I'd be in great shape again just in time for that glorious event. What I could not have foreseen was that not only would I be basically crawling into the pulpit to receive my commendation, but I also would be spending the next many months disoriented, deflated, and suffering a diagnosis that felt equally grave, anxiety." This book that I was reading, after I had outlined a 5-part sermon series on discovering and discerning the will of God, and as I approached the last 70 or so pages of the book, his words jumped off the page at me. "If there is one subject," he writes, "that I've been asked about over the years more than any other, it is the subject of God's will." I once heard it said that life equates to the sea between B and D. Between birth and death lie choices. And depending on the ones we make, we shape a life. So much is riding on our choices that it's no wonder we stress about the ones that are right. For the believer, it's effortless to be born, thank you, moms. And it's elating to be born again, thank you, Jesus. What seems neither effortless nor elating is in the middle. How do we live rightly in between? And in that moment, I recognized that my 5-part series would become a 6-part series. Throughout this series, we have considered insights from Scripture that guide us toward discovering and discerning the will of God. We began with the truth that God demands that we be holy. He can't do anything else. He is holy. And it's only holiness that can stand before Him to be in His very presence. And since we cannot attain that holiness on our own, God has done for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God's goal is to make us holy, and our goal is to allow Him to make us holy. This is the reason for the series title, Remember the Goal. We then recognize 3 types of divine will. Providential will encompasses that which God is going to do no matter what. No matter what any one of His created creatures, human beings, might decide to try to do, even if it's to try to thwart God's will. Examples include the release of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage, the return of the Jews to Israel and their capital, Jerusalem, after 70 years of captivity, the very birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Then there's God's moral will, which is permeates throughout the Scripture. It encompasses the will of God that is universal for everyone. And we see that. You know, we who are Christian believers, born again, who go into the Word, read the Word of God, knowing that it applies to us, it's a message for us, and we come away knowing the types of things and the types of behaviors and the types of even thoughts that we are to have as Christians. We know that even those outside the Christian faith desire many of those same things. It's universal for everyone. And the Bible's filled with those instructions from God concerning His instructions for righteous living, such as is here in Hebrews 13, 1 through 5. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Just one of many passages which give us insight and instruction into God's moral will, His purpose for everyone's lives universally. But His permissive will, that will which comes into play when we have choices to make. And those choices we face, the decisions that we make. And it's here that we ask the question about which Pastor Graham wrote, how do we live rightly in between? Well, in order to help us discover and discern God's will at the point of the choices that we face and the decisions we make, we have considered some biblical strategies. Briefly, seek discipline, seek wise counsel, seek God's word, and seek vision. So taken together, they offer a comprehensive framework from which God's will for any decision, no matter how difficult, can emerge. This morning I add one more vital strategy that has been implied throughout all the others, and that is to seek Jesus. Now, if you're thinking that this could have been, maybe should have been the first, I would not argue. However, it also serves as an appropriate conclusion to the series because it brings everything full circle. I may be concluding this particular topic this morning as a series, but the reality is that it never ends throughout the extent of our lives. Christians are always growing in spiritual maturity, and consequently, we are always seeking to discover and discern God's will for every step of our lives. And this brings us to Hebrews 13, 20, and 21, which I read earlier, and we'll repeat in a moment. These two verses are a doxology, which is an expression of praise to God, and a benediction, which is a short blessings with which public worship is concluded. These two verses serve as a part of the conclusion to the book of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Writes Pastor Graham in the book that I was reading, here in these words is a powerful truth regarding God's will, which is that rather than it being something you and I have to seek out, we need only surrender to it. It is God who ushered in peace by raising Jesus from the dead. It is God who equips us with every good thing. It is God and God alone who can work in us that which is pleasing in His sight. What is God's will for you and me? It's that we would let Him be Lord of our lives. If this sounds once more like a generality, that's because it is. But it is a vitally important generality. No Christian pastor, author, or scholar within the confines of sermons or books can possibly provide specific answers to every choice a person has to make. In fact, I do not think that many people would want me standing up here discussing their specific issues in public. Nevertheless, biblical truth serves a vital purpose, no matter how general the application. As we learned last week from Seek Vision, the more that we surrender our lives to God, the clearer our vision will become that He lays out for us, and the easier our decisions will be. A decision that contributes to the vision will be a yes, and a decision that detracts from the vision will be a no. Therefore, we seek discipline and wise counsel in God's Word and vision, and yes, we seek Jesus. We seek, but God does not play hide and seek. He honors everyone who seeks that which He wants to give. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12, a portion of that known as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Himself teaches, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." When we seek Jesus, we find Jesus. When we find Jesus, then we face possibly that first and most vital decision. Do we surrender to Him or do we not? Since this series is about discovering and discerning God's will, then here is the decision that God wants us to make. Surrender to Him. This is the path on which God makes us holy. As I said, this is all about coming full circle. We arrive at the place where we need to begin. "I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy." Remember the goal. Pastor Graham notes this path is marked by devotion in loving God and by selflessness in serving others. "Perhaps the greatest joy in my life is knowing that as I stay surrendered to the Lord Jesus, I will be led in the direction that most honors Him. I mess up, everyone does, but I don't stay messed up for long, and there is a great comfort in that. For the believer, the prompting of the Spirit is toward goodness, toward gentleness, toward peacefulness, toward joy. It's toward all the things a person wants to be. In Jesus, our search can be over. We can become what God created us to be." This is what it means to discover and discern God's will. When I arrive at those places in my life where I have a choice and I have to make a decision, I need to return to the questions that I posed at the outset of this series. Will my decision draw me nearer to God or push me farther away from God? Does my decision indicate that my goal is to allow God to make me more holy, more like Him? The praise team worship leaders this morning sang 10,000 Reasons, led us in 10,000 Reasons at my request. And I appreciate that. Listen to what we sing. "And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come, still my soul sings your praise unending, 10,000 years, and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Here is the point of discovering and discerning God's will. Here is the point of striving to know God's will as we face choices and make decisions. Here is the point of trying to live rightly in between life and death. God wants us to be among those worshiping his holy name 10,000 years and then forevermore. God has made the way for us to be holy. The way is Jesus Christ, who was crucified on a cruel cross for our redemption. He was buried in a tomb and on the third day rose victorious over sin and death. He exchanged our unrighteousness for his righteousness. Belief in this act of mercy and grace is called salvation. God invites anyone in need of salvation this morning to come to him and receive his gift of eternal grace. God invites everyone in need of his strength to come and lay your burdens at his altar. God invites anyone facing a decision to come and seek his will and surrender to it. At some point in his life, Jack Graham discovered and discerned God's will to the point where he could respond to the horrible tragedy that fell upon his family with the assurance that he was equipped to do the will of his Heavenly Father. And then suffering from anxiety and depression, he was still at a point where he knew God's will and discerned God's will enough to know that even though some days, as he related, each step was dark, that God would bring him out of it. Doesn't mean that he knew everything perfectly clear, or that he had everything figured out, or knew in detail what the future would bring, but throughout it all, he knew the assurance that comes from the great shepherd of the sheep. God's goal is to make us holy, and our goal is to allow God to make us holy. Seek Jesus, surrender to Jesus, remember the goal.